Father, thank you for this cool morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you to stir in us. May we not only hear Jeremy's words, but that we are moved and our hearts changed. I thank you, Father, for Jeremy's obedient time and preparation for this morning's sermon. May his words be absorbed in us. Refresh us this morning, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. Well, good morning, church. I bring you greetings from the Presbytery of the Pacific Southwest, which is our presbytery for the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It's a wonderful group of people. We just had a wonderful meeting over the last couple of days and excited about what God is doing in our presbytery. So greetings to you from all of them who will be in our area at Easton Presbyterian Church in January for the next presbytery meeting. And in the midst of presbytery in the last couple of weeks, as I've been spending some time meditating on this passage from Mark chapter 4, a passage that I think many of us have heard several times, I couldn't help but shake one of my favorite movies. This is a movie about the main character finding inner peace in the midst of crazy circumstances. And there's a scene that I just kept on thinking about where this main character is on a little boat out on a river, maybe a boat about the size of the boat that Jesus was on. And for him, the water is calm, but in his heart, there actually is a storm that is brewing. And in the midst of that storm, he is desperate to figure out how to get inner peace like his mentor has. And I'm just going to actually show you a scene, a one-minute scene that demonstrates his efforts to experience inner peace, because I think it actually ties in really well with our efforts to find peace and rest in our lives. Now, this is a very serious movie. It's called Kung Fu Panda 2. So, roll the scene.
I'm training.
The mast.
Inner peace. He's trying to find inner peace so much so that he's banging his head against the mast and trying to find. Have you ever felt like that? We are in the midst of a sermon series that we're calling Rest. And the goal of this sermon series is that we together would come to experience and know the true soul rest that is offered to us in Jesus. And it's actually an incredibly important thing for us to grapple with, because we live in such a busy world. And when we, as the people of God, take on that busy mentality, we miss so much of what God wants to do in us and through us, especially when we're in the midst of the storms of life. Whatever those storms may be, if we're not able to rest in God, then in the midst of those storms, we'll be ruled by fear, we'll be ruled by insecurity and pride. We will not be able to participate in the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us in the midst of those storms. And that's what we see in today's scripture passage. But having the kind of soul rest that Jesus offers to us, that the Bible talks about, is not just a matter of trying harder. It's like Po the panda was doing in that scene. It's, in fact, just like Po, trying to achieve rest with our own efforts will only result in frustration. And that's why today's passage is so important for us to hear and to open our hearts right now to the word that God wants to speak by his Spirit to us today. Because in this passage is both the key to rest and its greatest enemy. So may we today, right now, in this moment, hear and heed what God speaks. Amen? Amen. Well, this scene from Mark chapter 4 happens on the Sea of Galilee. And this summer, 40 of us stood there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And that day, it was warm and it was calm and it was beautiful. And it's hard to imagine that lake that we looked at could get so rough that the boats on it would be in danger of sinking. And that may have been what that day was like for Jesus and his disciples. But even though if the day was calm and the sea was calm that evening, the storm was brewing. Not only a storm in the skies, but a storm was brewing around the ministry of Jesus. Look in your Bibles at Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 1 and 2, things seem to be going kind of up and to the right for Jesus' ministry. The crowds are growing, the people are being healed, people are being delivered. But in Mark chapter 3, a real shift begins to happen. First, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. And what were the Pharisees, how did the Pharisees feel about that? They were upset by it. According to verse 6, not just were they upset, it says in verse 6 that they went out and began working with their adversaries, the Herodians, to figure out a way that they might kill Jesus. Then in verses 20 and 21, we find out that Jesus' own family thought that he was losing his mind. And they were on their way to take charge of him, to do an intervention. And then the next verse, 22, it says that the teachers of the law, the religious leaders who had come down all the way from Jerusalem, started claiming that Jesus was possessed by the devil. Here Jesus was doing all this wonderful work to show the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God was at hand, and the ones who knew the scriptures the best were saying that he was possessed. A storm was brewing for Jesus. A storm of resistance, a storm of rejection. A storm of betrayal. And that was the context the evening that Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Jesus had been teaching all along the shore of the lake, sitting in a boat that day while people gathered along the edge of the water. So the disciples, perhaps eager for a break themselves, it says, left the crowd behind and took Jesus just as he was, it says. In other words, no supplies, no extra clothes, no packed lunches, just as they were. And they began their journey across the lake with a small fleet of boats. And I don't know about you, but I love to be out on the water, especially a lake on a calm day. It can be so peaceful and so serene. And we had the privilege this summer of going out onto the Sea of Galilee on a boat and being out on the water. It was awesome. The water was calm and the skies were clear and there was a little bit of cool air coming off the water to give us a respite from the heat of the day. It was a wonderful time out on the water that day. And maybe that's what the disciples were hoping for. A little break from the action of the day, a chance to put up the sail and in the evening and let the evening breeze kind of slowly carry them across the lake, a chance to rest, a chance to debrief all that they'd experienced that day, a chance to just relax, just them and Jesus. But instead, somebody got very upset. Instead, verse 37 happened. And in verse 37, it says that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And now that might seem like a little far-fetched when you see that video of our time of the water, but the Sea of Galilee actually sits in a place where when the wind picks up and comes down through that little valley, it can actually cause massive agitation on the lake. And the NIV says that it was a furious squall. The ESV says that it was a great windstorm. And when that wind picks up, waves happen. And so this was a problem. This was not just a little thing on this little lake. The waves were crashing over the boat. The boat was filling up with water. This was a serious situation, so much so that these fishermen were scared for their lives, not just for this one boat that Jesus was in, but for all the boats that were there together. But in the midst of the furious squall, in the midst of the great windstorm, Jesus was asleep. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Mark adds that little detail for us, that he had a cushion. How nice. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? How is that possible? How can Jesus be asleep? Well, I think what's great about this passage is it helps us to see the true nature of who Jesus is. Because clearly, Jesus was tired. Jesus was exhausted. He had a massive day. So exhausted that he could sleep in the midst of a storm that was causing waves to break over the edge of the boat. Jesus wasn't just a superhuman walking around without any needs. He was sleeping in the midst of the storm because he was tired. But in the midst of his fatigue, he was able to sleep because of his great and awesome faith, because of his perfect relationship with the Father. Do any of you have trouble sleeping? If you're like me, then I have the most trouble sleeping when I'm stressed about something. You know, when there's something going on in my family, or there's something going on in the church, or there's an issue that I'm perseverating about, or it's Saturday night and I'm preaching the next morning, when I am stressed, I do not sleep well. When I'm anxious, even if I'm really tired, I don't sleep well. So if I were in Jesus' situation, not just the physical storm on the lake that night, but that storm of resistance, that storm of accusation, that storm of betrayal that was brewing and building against him, I would not have been able to sleep. I would have been angry and frustrated and disappointed and worried. I wouldn't have been able to sleep, at least soundly enough that I could sleep when waves were splashing over the edge of the boat onto my little cushion. But Jesus was different. Jesus is different. Jesus is fully aware of the Holy Spirit's presence with him. Jesus perfectly believes in the character of God. He absolutely trusts his loving and living Father in heaven. So even in the midst of the storm, he can sleep. One commentator says it this way: the peaceful sleep of Jesus is due to the perfect absence of fear in his heart and to his absolute trust in his Father's care. N.T. Wright says that even though the sea is stirred and evil is roused against this coming kingdom of God that Jesus is bringing, he says Jesus is so confident of God's presence and power that he can fall asleep on a pillow. Jesus is sleeping because he is tired, yes, but he stays sleeping because he is restful. He is fully resting in the promises and in the character and the tangible love of God. And what Mark wants to do in this passage is help us realize the stark contrast between Jesus and his friends, the disciples. Because while Jesus is sleeping on his little pillow, what are the disciples doing? They're freaking out! And we can see that clearly in their question when they wake Jesus up. Did you notice that? They didn't wake Jesus up and say, "Teacher, we're in a storm and we need your help. Get a bucket, start bailing." Or even, "Teacher, we need you to wake up so you don't get tossed overboard." No, in their fear, they actually asked a question that was accusing Jesus of something. Look at it again. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Have you ever been asked a question like that? Can you remember how it made you feel? It's not really a fair question. But it does show where the disciples were in that moment. And when I'm honest, I know that it also shows and reflects some of my own feelings toward God when I'm in the midst of a storm. "Don't you care if we drown?" But Jesus doesn't match their emotion. He doesn't get offended by their accusatory question. Mark simply says, very matter-of-factly, just like Marty read it for us this morning, Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Now, church, I know that Many of you have heard this story many times in your own Bible study or in a previous sermon or in a Sunday school lesson, maybe even with a flannel graph or something. But I just want you to think afresh this morning about what it says actually happened. The storm is raging. Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and he says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down. And the water was completely calm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The storm was raging. The guys were freaking out. Jesus stands up, says something, and it all stops. How amazing is that? Don't ever lose sight of how remarkable this passage is. How powerful Jesus is. They had already seen him bring healing and cast out demons and speak and teach with authority, but now stopping a storm dead in its tracks by speaking directly to it, that's a whole new level. And while their brains are still catching up with what they just experienced, Jesus says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then I can just imagine Jesus returning to his little pillow in the stern and laying back down and saying, "Hey, wake me up when we get to the other side." All the while, the disciples are just sitting there stunned and terrified, it says, asking each other, "Who is this guy?" Most of the time when we hear this passage, we focus appropriately on what Jesus says and does with the storm and how he has command over that. But what Jesus says to the disciples is actually just as important, because it reminds us that Jesus wasn't just calming the storm. Jesus was making a point. So what was that point that Jesus was making? Well, that point was another iteration of what he said in his very first sermon in Mark chapter 1. Do you remember Jesus' very first sermon in Mark chapter 1? He said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." You see, the kingdom of God is the rule or the reigning of God made manifest. And since God's purpose in the world is a purpose of redeeming transformation, the coming of God's kingdom is good news, particularly for those who believe and are aligning themselves with it. The disciples had seen the power and the nature of God's kingdom already in Jesus' teaching. They'd seen it already in his ministry of healing and deliverance, but now they were able to see the impact of the kingdom of God on all creation. The same power that created the world was on display in and through Jesus. And especially for the Jews, that those raging waters of the sea were a sign of evil. They were a sign of chaos in the world. But Jesus showed that he was the one sent from God to defeat evil and to defeat chaos. And those disciples were experiencing firsthand the unleashing of God's kingdom on earth. And the response that Jesus calls for in chapter 1 is essentially the same response that he calls for here once the storm is calmed. It's a response of repentance and faith. You see, faith or belief is always the response that Jesus called for. His question to the disciples addressing their unrest was, do you still have no faith? Faith or belief or trust in God in action, trusting God in action, that's the key to participating in the coming of God's kingdom. Faith is the key to experiencing the rest that God wants to give us in Christ, both for the disciples on the lake that night and for us this morning, church. And faith comes through repentance, through acknowledging our lack of faith, acknowledging our lack of belief, and in that acknowledging and asking for God's forgiveness, also asking for God to give us new belief, to help us to believe. But Jesus doesn't only ask them about their faith, does he? He also asks them about their greatest enemy to rest. What is that enemy? Fear. Jesus says, "Why are you guys so afraid?" Fear is an enemy of rest. Because fear always gets in the way of faith. Fear gets in the way of belief because fear deceives us. It causes us to forget what is really true. One of my favorite songs on the radio right now is a song by a guy named Zach Williams. It's called Fear is a Liar. And in the chorus he sings, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Because fear, he is a liar. Beloved, I pray today that you know the truth of those words. Fear robs your rest. Fear tells us that we can't really trust God. Fear tells us that we need to be in control. Fear tells us that Jesus doesn't really care about our lives or if we drown or not. Fear tells us that being accepted by others is more important than being obedient to the Father. Fear tells us that God can't really use people like us. Fear is the thing that was leading the disciples that day, not faith. And that's why they could not rest. And that's why Jesus asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Beloved, how is fear influencing your life today? How is fear keeping you from the rest that God wants to give you? Fear will rob you of the rest that Jesus wants to give. Fear steals rest. But faith nurtures rest. And our experience of rest is directly connected to our belief. And I want you to know that I'm not just talking about taking a Sabbath. We're beyond now just talking about Sabbath rest. We're talking about rest in our everyday life, the rest that Jesus came to give us in our everyday life. Our experience of that rest is directly connected to our belief, to our faith. So if we can learn to believe in Christ, then we can learn to rest in Christ. And learning to rest in Christ will give us peace during the storm. Peace like Jesus had. And here's the deal, beloved. The reason that what I'm saying is so important is because if you follow Jesus Christ, there will be storms in your life. Storms just like Jesus faced. Storms beyond the natural storms of life and sickness and disease, but even storms of betrayal. Storms of resistance, storms of rejection, storms of judgment, storms of ridicule. Following Jesus does not mean that we are protected from the storms of life. It means that we are protected in the storms of life. And by protected, I don't mean that we are kept from harm. If we're to follow Jesus' example, then we should know that it doesn't mean that we are kept from harm because of all the harm that Jesus took for us. So when Jesus offers us rest, it doesn't mean that he's going to keep us from all the storms. It means that he wants to give us rest in the midst of the storms. He wants to give us the kind of faith that he had, the kind of faith that enabled him to sleep through the storm on his pillow. So how do we experience that kind of rest? Well, for Po, the Kung Fu Panda, finding his inner peace, which eventually, you know, spoiler alert, he does find his inner peace in the end of that movie. Finding that inner peace wasn't about trying harder. In the end, it was actually about surrendering to his true identity. Jesus was restful because he had perfect faith. He knew who he was in the Father's eyes. He believed perfectly in the truth of God and the truth of his own identity with God. Church, the only way that we can have rest, true rest in the midst of the storms of life is to surrender and to submit to the reality of who God is and what God has done for us in Christ and who he has made us to be in Christ. For those of us who have put our faith in him, we surrender through repentance and faith. And in that moment, the disciples weren't there yet, were they? Did you notice how they responded? Verse 41. It says that they were terrified And they asked each other, who is this? Now, I don't blame them for that. I probably would have been terrified in asking the same question. But rather than turning to Jesus in that moment and saying, oh, Lord, forgive us for our fear and help us to believe like you believe. Instead, they continued in their fear. In fact, it increased, and they talked to one another. But God's grace was sufficient for them. And just like it is for us, Jesus died for the forgiveness of their sin. He rose from the dead in eternal victory over sin and death, and he gave to them these same ones who were afraid and accusatory. He gave to them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in the end, these same disciples who were freaking out on the boat and accusing Jesus of not caring, all but one of them took the message of Jesus. They took the good news of the kingdom to the world so that you and I might know this story, no matter what the cost. Jesus came to give us rest. He came to give us rest for our souls, even in the midst of the storms. There will be storms. And that rest comes through faith. It comes through believing the truth about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is the creator and the redeemer and the sustainer, that God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ to those who have put their faith in him, that God has made you through Christ an ambassador of his kingdom, that he has a call on your life. Fear steals that rest. Fear gets in the way of the faith that God wants to give us, but faith in God nurtures rest. So may the Lord fill us this week with faith so that we can have rest no matter what storms our lives may bring. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the power of the kingdom of God to heal, to deliver, to command the chaos into stillness. Thank you that kingdom was so perfectly made manifest in Jesus. Thank you for your call in our lives to be a part of it. Lord, help us this week to recognize the way fear in our lives gets in the way of that. Help us to recognize the things that we're afraid of. Afraid of losing our stability, afraid of rejection, afraid of losing our money, afraid of being taken advantage of, afraid of letting go or not being in control, afraid of what it might mean for our lives if we truly surrender everything to you. Help us to recognize our fear. Help us to see the truth about it by your Spirit. Help us to repent of it, Lord. Help us to confess it to you, to bring it before you, to talk to you about it, to lay it at your feet, to throw it in the fire, because fear is a liar. And then build up our faith. God, help us to trust you and believe in you, that you are the one who can calm the seas. You are the one who redeems. You are our Savior. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not put their faith in you, but is in the midst of fear, in the midst of a great storm, God, help them to know the truth of your love for them. And I pray that you would draw them to faith today. That every one of us, and especially them, would say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. And help me to believe in you, Savior and Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said,
Amen. Amen.
So may this blessing of peace and of rest and of faith. Beloved, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace, his perfect rest, today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,